नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 18. Iti tam vividopayer visayams tarjanab devi praradam grahayam asa tri Vargasyopapadanam. Iti tam vividapayer visiyams tarjanadavi praradam grahayam asa Sri Vargasyo Papadanam Iti tam vivid dopayer Visayam staro tarjanadabi Praradam grahayam asa Sri Vargasyo Papadanam Iti tam vividyo dotapir Visiyams tajanadabi Praradam grahayam asa Sri Vargasyo Papadanam Varganam Iti tam pivadil prayar Visayam tarjadabi Praradam grahayam asa Sri Vargasya padopandanam Iti tam avidyo prayar Visiyam tajanadabi Prayadam grahayam asa Sri Vargasyo papadanam Matijis Iti tam vividyo payer Visiyam tajanadabi Praradam grahayam asa Sivargasya papadanam Niti tam vivejo payer Anybody else? Ichi. In this way, Tom, him, Prahlad Maharaj, Vividha Upaya, by various means, Bisayan, threatening, Tarjana Adabi, by chastisement, threats, etc. Paradam, unto Prahlad Maharaj. Grahayam Asa, taught. Tri Virgrasya, the three goals of life, the paths of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Upapadanam, scripture that presents. Translation. Sanda and Amarka, the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, chastised and threatened their disciple in various ways and began teaching him about the paths of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. This is the way they educated him. Repeat. Sanda and Amarka, the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, chastised and threatened their disciple in various ways and began teaching him about the paths of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. This is the way they educated him. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. In this verse, the words Praharadam Grahayam Asa are important. The words Grahayam Asa literally mean that they tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to accept the paths of Dharma, Artha, and Kama, religion, economic development, and sense gratification. People are generally preoccupied with these three concerns without interest in the path of liberation. Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad Maharaj, was simply interested in gold and sense enjoyment. The word Hiranya means gold. And Kashipu refers to soft cushions and bedding on which people enjoy sense gratification. The word Prahlad, however, refers to one who is always joyful in understanding Brahman. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Prahlad means Prasanatma, always joyful. Prahlad was always joyful in worshiping the Lord, but in accordance with the instructions of Hiranyakashipu, the teachers were interested in teaching him about material things. Materialistic persons think that the path of religion is meant for improving the material conditions. The materialist goes to a temple to worship many varieties of demigods just to receive some benediction to improve his material life. He goes to a sadhu or so-called swami to take advantage of an easy method for achieving material opulence. In the name of religion, the so-called sadhus try to satisfy the senses of the materialist by showing them shortcuts to material opulence. Sometimes they give some talisman or blessing. Sometimes they attract materialistic persons by producing gold. Then they declare themselves God, and foolish materialists are attracted to them for economic development. As a result of this process of cheating, others are reluctant to accept the religious process, and instead they advise people in general to work for material advancement. This is going on all over the world, not only now, but since time immemorial. So no one is interested in moksha liberation. There are four principles: Dharma, religion; Artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, and moksha, liberation. People accept religion to be materially opulent. But why should one be materially opulent? For sense gratification? Thus, people prefer these three margas, the three paths of materialistic life. No one is interested in liberation. And Bhagavat, bhakti, devotional service to the Lord, is above even liberation. Therefore, the process of devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is extremely difficult to understand. This will be explained later by Prahlad Maharaj. The teacher, Sanda, in a market, tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to accept a materialistic way of life, but actually their attempt was a failure. Ma Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pustaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prasharine Nirvasesa Sunyavari Paskachad Sitarine Om Manjana Tamaranyasya Jana Jana Salakaya Saksu Ummalitanyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Isn't it, I was reflecting on this purport, and I was thinking how, how is it the religion that they're teaching Prahlad Maharaj is considered materialistic? One may think that's a good thing. But this kind of religion is not Sanatana Dharma, not the real thing. It's just an actual fraud. It's manufactured. It goes from time immemorial. It's been going on in the material world from materialistic people. They take up some religiosity simply to increase their sense of gratification and simply to go on trying to be the Lord of all they survey. Now, we find that in modern evangelists are exactly in this mold. I've taken on the time every so often, I actually turned on the boob tube and looked and seen the presentation of the so-called spirituality that are being presented by the modern-day evangelists. And usually you will see they're in a nice, beautiful setting, marble floors, carpet, drapery, beautifully, everything's there. And then they do a little flashback where they live, three-car garage, beautiful wife, white picket fence. Oh, the Lord is so kind. You come, you worship, and you'll be like me. You'll enjoy like anything. You'll enjoy the pleasures of the material world because that's what we're here for. And the people having a very poor fund of knowledge, really being blind to what is real religion. They buy into it. Send me the money and you will also have blessings like me. I am giving blessings. But you give the money. And thus there's literally almost like a pyramid scheme. One comes into being for 5 years, maybe even 10, and they soak people up, and pretty soon it all finds out they've been cheating on the top, and it all drops away, and a new batch of these cheaters come on. Continuously going on, you see. Hardly any of them have a trace of real spirituality. Every once in a while you hear some little witty words to keep them going. But it's at best, and their best message that they're able to give, they're just barely scratching the surface if they're lucky. which thinking of that, I start to think of a most pertinent verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it says so. I'm terrible at Sanskrit, so you guys can chastise me when I get out of the temple. I'm just trying to get through it. Dharma prajotita kataivo itra paramo nimat sat nanam satam veda vattavan atra vatsu sivadam taptrayo muktanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimba Parer Ishvara Sadhya Hride Avityate Itra Kirta Bisu Sri Bistat Chanat. Translation. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. And in some of their purport, Prabhupada goes on to say, I'll just read a little piece of it. Less intelligent men are driven to religious functions to gain something material. But if such material gains are obtainable in other ways, then so-called religion is neglected. This is the situation in modern civilization. Man is striving economically, so at present he is not very interested in religion. Even that religion, nobody's biting into it because they can get it without it. The only reason they went to it is for sense gratification. And now they can get it somewhere else. Well, now we don't need to. And we find that more and more. I can see my generation when I was growing up, how my family would go to church. And every 10 years, less people would go to church because they were getting everything they needed without having to go to church. Why should I bother to go to church? Everything's good. Yeah, I'll just give my little shout out to God every now and then, and we're good. You know, that's good enough now. We're all tuned in instead of even going out of the way to take the austerity to drive to the church. I'll just tune in for half an hour and watch a so-called Frederick Price or somebody like that. What's that? So I was thinking that in the same way. It actually explained in this chapter that the Hiranyakashipu and all his servants, we hear how they try to kill and torture Prahlad Maharaj. And we just heard some of them, but actually Prabhupada explains that they try to kill them by thousands of ways. Not hundreds, but thousands of ways. They try to kill Prahlad Maharaj. This Hiranyakashipu. So this is the Hiranyakashipu civilization out there. And they will work overtime in trying to kill the urge for self-realization in the souls in this Kali Yuga. They are always, all day long, concocting various ways to kill the urge for self-realization and the hearts of the living entities. They never stop manufacturing, producing items what I remember Radhana Swami Maharaj, he used a quote, weapons of mass distraction. Continuously, there's something just to get them to never get there. When people go out to the, it's funny, when I was younger and I remember I would go out to a camping trips, I was in the Boy Scouts, we'd go out to camping trips because we were out in the country, it seemed like everyone would actually get religious minded. And they would inquire and they would be a little more introspective. No distractions. And now there's just it seems to be more and more and more and more weapons of mass distraction. When the devotee approaches people out there to give them a book, they have a bigger, larger bubble that they have to crack through. Hold on a second, I'm on Facebook. Hold on a second, I'm texting someone. Hold on. I'm good. They're all like so wrapped up. So wrapped up. Big bubble shooting everywhere. And I work in a high-rise building in Westwood Place. And that whole Wilshire corridor is quite paranoid. They're always worried about terrorist attacks. I work right next door to the Pakistan embassy. So you can imagine. Then they got the federal building just down the road, and they're always having demonstrations out in front. And in my building, this is one guy that's always bringing in these, I think he's doing like recruiting for Al-Qaeda. I don't know. It's very shady. The people that he's bringing in, everyone's always saying, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? They're worried. But the real terrorists that they should really be worried about, the real terrorists of this world, Krishna points out, in the Bhagavad Gita. The real terrorists of this world, Krishna says. The public enemy number one of this world, Arjuna, is lust only. Lust, Arjuna, is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. It destroys the urge for self-realization. It takes you the other direction. So it's modern civilization. They're all terrorists because that's all they're thriving on. This is all their energy is there to keep fire of lust burning. And when it's burned out, we'll light it back up. And when you've destroyed the ability for your body to enjoy any more lusty activities, we'll give you a pill. And you keep going. I have a friend who works at one of those assisted living senior citizens. Yeah, and I ask her, very old people. I mean, after that, they're like pretty much going to the hospice after that. And yet they have to patrol the hallways so the men and women aren't making out. Pathetic. So Krishna says that this enemy of lust is situated. Where does it reside? We always think of it residing over there. It resides in the mind and the intelligence and the senses. That's where the enemy is, the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. It's captured. It's there. So we have to... That's the real... If there's going to be a turnaround in this world, we must attack the enemy where it's situated. And isn't it amazing that Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada has given us a process to go to the enemies, go right to where the enemy's hanging out and chop them up through the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This mantra is so powerful. It just comes in and takes over your mind. And then gradually takes over the intelligence. And then intelligence makes the senses work for Krishna. And when that happens, lust has to go somewhere because lust is born of darkness. When the light is on, what happens to darkness? It goes away on its own accord. On its own accord. We have the tool to drive out the real enemy of the world. So we are out to destroy this materialistic civilization. If Prabhupada said, if they only knew what we were up to. So, and of course, one of the best methods we know how to drive it out of our consciousness. So now we know, we're learning also, actually part of learning how to drive it in our consciousness is kind of like the magic, the gift of Lord Chaitanya. It's the gift that keeps giving. When it becomes derived out of our consciousness by the program of Krishna consciousness, that an awakening begins in the consciousness of the souls that are driving it out. This love begins to awaken. This love for the spiritual master, the love for the devotees, the love for the deities, the Lord, and the love for Krishna's part and parcels. And thus, they're always wanting to, they can't check it. Just like if there's a magnet and you're iron, can you check your ability to go to the magnet? No. You must go to the magnet. So as your soul awakens, you must go to the magnet of Sankirtan Yajna. You must. Your love just is expanding. You must go out and preach. You must go out and give the holy name. You must go out and give prasadam. You must. And when you do that, oh my God, your attraction just gets even huger. It's like the more you do it, the more it doubles and doubles and doubles and doubles. The more you awaken others, the more you become awakened. This is the magic of it all. And I was thinking the other day, I was on Harinam Sankirtan. We had this amazing Harinam on Saturday. It really ended up really just cooking. It started out slow. It was a little difficult. Our Harinam van has a blown tire. We had to get separate vehicles to go in. And I was holding the fort with four devotees for about the first half hour. And then and devotees showed up, and then it just became like a dance melee. And all these people just standing around watching us and participating. There's nothing like it. To see these people who had no intention of chanting Hare Krishna, now chanting Hare Krishna. And with vigor and chanting, and just, they don't know what it is, but it's just so cool, they just can't check themselves. And I was telling, and then it was actually Denise, who had led her wonderful kirtan. She's a visiting devotee. I'm sure some of you know her by now. And I was telling her right afterwards that, you know, Lord Chaitanya's heart is so big. The devotees, they begin to develop some compassion for these people. But Lord Chaitanya's heart is so big. He has such great compassion. You know, he feels whatever little compassion you feel, he's feeling it billions of times more. Billions of times more. And he really is intensely feeling this. We can't fathom that. We don't know what it's like. But we just accept the authority of the scripture where it says that. Just like they say, man says, show me and I'll believe you. Krishna says, believe me and I'll show you. So Krishna makes these statements, but he wants us to put faith in the statements and he'll show you what he means. So he begins to reveal a little bit about how his heart operates. When we're out there, every single person out there is a dear, lost, forgotten servant of God. And God is just longing to be reunited with them. I mean, imagine if there was one person, a brother you hadn't seen in a long time, one person that you really, really love, you hadn't seen in a long time. What you would go through to try to reach that person, to bring him back. That one person. Well, imagine having that feeling for that person magnified 10 times. 100 times, 1,000 times. That's God's feeling for all these people. And for the devotee that goes out and tries to play a role in bringing back these souls, God is just overwhelmed with gratitude for such devotees. And the amazing thing is that as the Harinam is going out, and the potency of the Harinam is reaching all these people. And I know, it's like, in this Kali Yuga, their karmic DNA is really bad. Their future isn't very bright at all. But when we put out that holy name, we've altered their karmic destination. We've altered it. It's almost like time release program. We may not see it immediately. We can't see with our eyes. Again, Krishna says, believe me and I'll show you. You may not see it now, but you'll see it later. That it's being changed for the better. And then on top of that, we're doing the Harinama, we're changing the consciousness of ether. Everyone who comes in contact with it, we've done the most significant thing that's ever taken place in the course of their many, 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 many births on this planet. We've been walking around, they think they've done this to that and that in their life, that all that don't mean nothing. When they've met that devotee on that Harinama and heard the holy name, that is the most important function of their whole existence in the material world, and it's now begun by the mercy of the devotees. And then we have our book distributors, and they're our specialists, and they're going in and planting these bombs, and they're going to take these bombs home with them. And these bombs will just keep going off at different times, changing the consciousness of the living being, destroying the demoniac mentality. Just like one devotee was telling me, he was having some problems with bugs. And how did he get, because there's a way of getting rid of them now. They come and they they get exposed to this and they carry back that chemical to their nest. And when it gets to the nest, it destroys that nest also, so that the bug is killed. So similarly, these books are being sent out and they're going into people's homes and they're also infecting and destroying the demonic mentality there, all in due course of time. So, anyone out there that is desiring to, and we're all here, really, we're all here. We're all really here to understand real religion. Real religion is not gimme, 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 Krishna, gimme this, gimme that, gimme, 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 gimme. Just like the President of the United States, I remember, John F. Kennedy? Ask not what you can do for your country, but ask what you can do. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. So ask not what God can do for me, but ask what can I do for God. We don't have to ask anything from God. Om Purnam Purnam Idam. We're all complete units emanating from the complete whole. Krishna gives all complete facility for his complete units to completely realize his completeness. Everything comes. Your happiness and distress, predestined. You can't change it. You don't go to the drugstore and say, my dear sir, let me buy $10 worth of misery. It comes on its own accord. So we can't get happiness any more than we're destined to. So why should any of us or any of the world waste time on these activities and that cannot be changed? And that's what the whole world is engaged in. How to increase the material happiness and how to decrease these two items which cannot be changed, which are set. The only thing that can be changed and be developed and have some significance in our life is Atto Brahma Jignasa. To inquire about God, the absolute truth. To inquire it ourselves, to understand it, and to give it to the people. I'll say one last thing. I remember back in the 70s, they had this big, big bus, school bus, and we would go to Hainam. And we were on our way to Hollywood to do Harinam. And I remember Hri Dayananda Maharaj had just recently taken sannyas. And he was standing up on the bus the whole way. He didn't sit down. He was fired up. And he says, no, we're now going to Hollywood. I was born here. So was I. He goes, and all these living entities will be engaged in all sorts of nonsense activities. But do not find fault in them. They must engage in these activities. They don't have a choice. We are not doing this anymore because we were given the choice. So we're here to give them that choice. Everybody must do something. If they're not given the opportunity for Krishna consciousness, they'll continue whatever they're doing. So the devotees are now doing something different than they were doing before they came to Krishna consciousness, because if some devotee, some soul came out and gave them their association, in the same way, that's the only way that they'll ever come out of their ignorance. We must give them our association. We must give them a fund of knowledge, a real fund of knowledge that they can use to advance the real cause of human life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions, remarks? Hare Nam Sankirtan Ki. Hare Hare Bol. Mm-hmm.